This week's parsha is Chukas, and what I would like to do is, I believe last year, if I remember correctly, we talked about the whole incident of Moshe hitting the rock. He was supposed to talk to the rock and what was going on there, and why exactly he was punished. What I'd like to do this year is to look at the immediate, what happened immediately afterwards. Right after that, that story, right? Right after, you can imagine for Moshe that how depressing, upsetting, disappointing, you know, what the result of what had happened, the punishment that he had received, the news that that God had conveyed to him, and you know, like what happened afterwards. Right. You know, you could imagine, I don't know, for most people, probably if they were given such news, if they received such a disappointment, they would have like shut down, been unable to move forward to cope. You know, what was Moshe's reaction to hearing the news? And the way it's presented here in our parsha is that Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, Yanash lo hamantimbi, lakisheni leine b'nei Yisrael, lachein lo sovios lakal hazel aretz asher nasati lahem. Right? Perhaps your lifelong dream of leading the Jewish people into the promised land, that's not going to happen. You're not going to bring them in. Hema mei riva, sherov b'nei Yisrael, sashev kadesh bab. Right? And this was the, these are the waters of strife, mei riva. Okay, so what happens next? Right? So what, now, what could happen next is a couple of things, right? If it was, I was talking to some students right in school, I'd ask, like, what would you imagine? You're in Moshe's shoes. What would you do next after hearing this news? So I think one possibility is that you shut down, right? That you you lock yourself in the tent and you lie on the pillow and you don't want to talk to anyone. You're angry. You're upset. You're so disappointed. That's one possibility. Another possibility. And I think that this possibility emerges if we study the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, which I want to do right now, just very quickly, a quick review of a couple of things, is another possibility is that you don't accept this, right? You petition God that God should change his mind. You say, well, you say, Hashem, why? One second, slow down. Zello fair. It's not fair. Okay, I messed up. I made a mistake. And again, we're exactly what the mistake was that we did last year. But Hashem, give me another chance. Give me another opportunity. I'll make things different this time. I've worked so hard over the past 40 years. I wasn't even interested in this job to begin with. You're the one who pressured me into doing it at the burning bush. And I've led them through thick and thin, you know, over the last 40 years. Please, Hashem, right? Give me a second chance. And, you know, and the reason why I think that that's a strong possibility is because, I don't know if I have the entire list, if this is exhaustive or not, but just a couple of examples. This seems to be Moshe's raison d'etre. This is Moshe's approach that he has taken time and time again, always challenging Hashem, not willing to necessarily listen to God's, you know, to what God has told him to do. And it begins with the burning bush itself, right? The snare, right? It's that back and forth, Moshe challenging, Moshe disagreeing, Moshe, you know, not wanting to accept what Hashem has to say. And so right from the beginning, their initial relationship between Hashem and Moshe is that Moshe does not accept. And Moshe is unwilling to go along always what Hashem decrees, what Hashem, you know, says is going to happen. And then the next example that I thought of that comes up is also once, you know, Moshe finally does accept the task to go to back to Egypt, and he approaches a Paro. So we know that initial conversation with Paro does not go all that well. Not only does Paro reject what Moshe and Aaron request of allowing the Jewish people to leave or to serve Hashem, but he makes things even worse for the Jewish people. Right, memory makes things even worse for the Jewish people, and makes them work even harder. And Moshe is not at all happy with that. Right, at the very end of Parsha Shemos, Vayosha Moshe Hashem, right? Moshe, you know, goes back to God. Vayomar Hashem, Lamayroso, Lamazer, why have you made it so much worse for the people? Lamazer Shalachtani, why did you send me on this mission? Me'az Basi El Paro, Zabir Shecha, because from the moment that I went to Paro to speak in your name, Heira Lamazer, that's Alvoit Salti Asamecha, right? That evil has been done to the people. And you didn't save them. You didn't rescue them. So Moshe does not take things standing down, right? Moshe is challenging. Moshe is there to defend, protect the Jewish people. But Moshe thinks that God has done something that is incorrect, that he disagrees with. You know, Moshe challenges Hashem. When is the next time that happens? So this you need a little bit of Rashi to fill in, to flesh this one out. But at the Yamsa. Right before the Jewish people cross the sea, so they're being chased by the Egyptians, and it's pretty precarious. You have the Egyptians on one side, you have the sea on the other side, and the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe." God says to Moshe, "Mati tzakilai, why are you crying out to me? Dabir b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Tell the Jewish people, move forward, right? March to the sea." So, "Mati tzakilai, why are you crying out to me?" So, who's crying the out? Is that the Jewish people who are crying out? And Hashem's telling the Jewish people, march forward, don't be afraid. Ma titzak ilai. Right, titzak is you. Right? Where are you crying? Are you the singular? So Rashi says there, ma titzak ilai. Amanu shaya Moshe omi nimispala. We see that Moshe was praying at that moment. He was davening to Hashem. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yid'ata la'arich al p'fila. This is not the time God says to Moshe to pray. But sorry, the Jews are in a very difficult situation. You got to lead them. But there as well, it seems like Moshe is, you know, again, he's advocating for the Jewish people. He's standing up to God to protect them and to save them. And then the next examples are very famous, right? The times when Moshe really comes to the defense of the Jewish people, when he's unwilling to accept God's decree, is of course Chayta Ego. Right, the sin of the golden calf, where at that moment, right, Hashem wants to destroy the entire Jewish people. This is in Parshas Kisisa. It's in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Yud, and there Hashem says to Moshe, "V'yata hanichli v'yichar pi b'hem achalein," and destroy the Jewish people, says God. "I'll make you give you another nation." So what happens? This we lay on a fast day. Vayicha al Moshe espnei Hashem lokav. Right. So Moshe immediately engages in tefillah. He pleads before God. Vayomer lo Hashem yechre apachav b'amecha asher tisam yitzar etkoch gadol v'yad chazakah. Why are you getting so angry at the Jewish people? And what are the Egyptians going to say? If you destroy the Jewish people, the whole thing is that you told me to go to Paro, that he should know that who I am, that I am God. And so what the Egyptians are going to say, Barotim Arogosam, you know why God, the Egyptians will say, you know why God took them out? Took them out to destroy them, right? So God, you know, calm down. Shuv mechon apacha minachim al rola amacha. Famous pasuk, we say that over and over again on a Monday and Thursday during the Tachanun. And not only that, Zachor l'avrisul Yaakov Yisrael, remember our forefathers, the promise he made to them, that they'll be a great nation. So as Moshe, you know, he's a defense attorney, right? Defending the Jewish people, unwilling to accept God's decree. And then, we just read this a couple of weeks ago in Parsha Shalach. Once again, another the second major failure in the desert, the sin of the spies. And once again, this is in Perek Yud Dalad, Sefer Bamidbar, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And what happens here? Here, Pasuk Yedal, Perek Yedal, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yom Hashem Hashem, Lo Yosu Lav Decha, Lo Matzasichem Beinecha. I'm sorry, that's wrong. That's actually the one time Parsh Balosta is the one time Moshe sort of can't handle it anymore. But in Parsha Shlach, he sort of regains his composure. God gives him the 70 elders to help him out. So in Parsha Shlach, we're told the following. Again, Hashem wants to destroy the Jewish people. And once again, I'll destroy the Jewish people, God says, and I'll give you another great nation. Vayomer Moshe al Hashem. And what does Moshe say to God? Again, no, God, you can't do that. What, the Egyptians are going to hear about it. The Egyptians are going to hear about it, and you can't do it. It doesn't invoke the Zchus Avos. Why not for another time? But that's, again, continues the pattern of Moshe challenging God, not accepting what God has to say. And it actually appears two times in last week's Parsha as well, the entire rebellion of Korach. So two times, if you have to pay attention to catch this in Parshas Korach, besides Hashem, you know, doing having the earth swallow up a Dathan and Aviron and the fire pan, you know, the fire coming down and killing the 250 people who are part of the rebellion, at two points during the rebellion, God wants to destroy the entire Jewish people. I've got to pay close attention to catch it. The first time is in Perek Tes Zion, Pasuk Chaf. Get away, and I'm going to destroy the entire people. So Moshe prays. He prays. One person sins, the Kol does, takes over your anger and everyone else. No, don't blame the people. It's Korach. He's the one who's at fault. Again, Moshe is defending the people. And then finally, in the next parak, parak Yud Zion, Pasuk Tes, again, separate yourself from the people, achalel som karaga, and I will destroy them. And once again, by Pu'opaneim, Moshe prays. So the pattern that Moshe has established throughout the duration of the 40-year sojourn in the desert is not accepting God's decree, is not going along with God's decision. But when Moshe feels that it's wrong, when Moshe disagrees, and Moshe constantly challenged God, argued with Hashem, defended the people, and Moshe always was victorious. Right? Moshe always, at the end of the day, was successful in the challenges that he made. So the question, therefore, is: so what does Moshe do in this instant? Right? What does Moshe do at this moment? And the one thing I could think about to compare this to would be, you know, to Avraham. You know, there are some, there's famous midrashim that make comparisons between Noach and Avraham, but there's also midrashim that compare Avraham to Moshe. And here, you know, one of the major questions that's always asked in Parshas Vayera is at the Akedah. Right? At Akedah Yitzchak, when God tells Avraham to go sacrifice his son, you know, again, what's Avraham's reaction? Right? We know his reaction, similar to Moshe, that when there's a large group of people who are in danger, so just like Moshe rises to the occasion to defend the people, so we know that Avram tries to save the people of Sodom. So what about when it's a personal issue, right? So it seems like here also it's a personal issue. The Jewish people are going to enter the land of Israel, but Moshe is not going to be able to enter the land of Israel. So what about when God, with Avram, right, when he's told to sacrifice his son? So on the one hand, we say he accepted it. He did God's bidding, right? He didn't challenge it like he challenged the decree with Sodom. So maybe it's somewhat similar, you know, to Moshe. Like when it comes to the people, he's going to defend the people. But when it comes to, you know, to whatever Hashem tells them to do, you know, Hashem says, okay, you're going to die. I'm going to die. He'll die. And that's it. End of the story. So on some level, that's what happens, right? On some level, you read our Parsha, it seems like Moshe very much mimics Avraham, that when it's a personal, difficult decree against Avraham, just like Avraham goes along with it, doesn't challenge God, but listens and fulfills and accepts what, you know, the fact that he's got to sacrifice his son. So Moshe as well, he accepts it, right? Doesn't challenge it. And in fact, the amazing thing is, what's the very next pasuk? First of all, I noticed this a number of years ago. I was like blown away by this, how powerful it is. And I'll show you a refresh who picks up on this as well in his commentary on our parsha. So again, you know, God gives a decree that you're not going to enter the land. What the very next pasuk, Perek Chaf, pasuk Yud Dalet, right? In our parsha, the very next pasuk says the following: Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. Then Moshe sends messengers to the king of Edom. Remember, the Jews were on the verge of entering the land of Israel at this point. At the end of the 40 years in the desert, they're on the east bank of the Jordan. They're about to enter the land. And so Moshe sends messengers to the king of Edom. Apparently they're on the border near Edom. Komar Achicha Yisrael, so said your brother Israel, Atalya Datait, Kotla Shem et Tasanu. You know what has happened to us. It's well known, the Jewish story, what has occurred to us over the years. And bottom line, right, he asked for permission to pass through the land to enter into Israel. Now, what's amazing is that, you know, I asked the question, you know, what did Moshe do after he heard the news? Did he get all depressed? Did he lock his tent and he fall on his pillow and not talk to anyone? No, he did none of that. Not only did he not do any of that, he continued to lead the people towards the lands, which is amazing, because the truth, not only is he doing it, continuing to do his job, but by doing his job, he's going to die sooner, because the closer they get to Israel, the sooner his life is going to come to an end, because he will not be able to enter the land with the rest of the people. And Rav Hirsch picks up on this, and Rav Hirsch says, undaunted, not disconcerted, thirded by the fate that hung over him, which denied him personally the prospect of reaching a long-pursued goal, Moshe carried on energetically to fulfill his mission for as long as God would let him live with his people. He reminded him of their common descent, according to Medrash Rambah. Okay, so which is amazing is that Moshe doesn't let this impact him. That Moshe continues the mission. He continues to lead the people and he might not be able to enter the land, but he's going to get them as close to as possible. He's going to be able to successfully hand off the baton to Yeshua and to facilitate the successful entry of the Jewish people into Israel, which is an amazing thing that, you know, about, you know, setbacks that we have in life and things that are so disappointing, upsetting, and hurtful and painful. And yet Moshe doesn't give up. He continues to march forward. He continues to fulfill his mission in life that God has given to him. And you know, and no matter what he was feeling inside, he continued to move forward. So that's very powerful. That's very beautiful, and something to learn from. But there is one more aspect as well. It's not mentioned here in Parshas Chukas, but it is invoked in Devarim, in Sefer Devarim, and Parshas Ve'eschanan. You know, as I asked the question before, comparing Moshe to Avram, but Avram. So Avram at the Akedah, right, seems like he's like Moshe. He follows the instructions, right? He accepts the fate, and like Moshe, marching forward with the Jewish people, lead them into the Holy Land as far as he could go. Right, Avram's going to continue marching with his son Yitzchak, ascending the mountain to perform the Akedah. However, there is a comment by Rashi. It's a well-known comment that Rashi, when the initial instructions were given to Avram to perform the Akedah, so the Torah says the following. Again, at the end of Parshas Vayera, we lay this on Rosh Hashanah, and on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and some people say this every morning in the right, you know, they say brachos in the morning, you say the parshas Akedah. So we're told the following: Vayomer Avram, right? God speaks. Valakim nisas Avram. Vayomer love Avram. Avram yomer nini. Vayomer kachnas pinchas yitchidchas asher haftes yitzlak lecha eretz Moria. Right, take your son, your only son, the one you love, and bring him up the mountain. It says Rashi. Did he challenge God? Rashi quotes a Medrash that he did challenge God, that he did not accept this initially. Says the Rashi, take Esbincha, take your son. Amr lo, Avram says back to God, Shnei vanim yeshli. What do you mean take your son? I got two sons. What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying. I got two sons. Right? He had, besides Yisli, he had Ishmael. Amr lo, take the one that's unique, the one that's alone. Amr lo, Avram says back, God, I understand. Zayachilimo. Each one's unique. Each one is a child, you know, that has his own mother. This one, Shmuel, has got his mom. Yitzchak is his mom. Then God says, Asher, no, take the one you love. Amrlo, very powerful. Avram says, I love both of them. I don't know what you're saying, Hashem. I don't understand what you're telling me. Amrlo es Yitzchak. What I mean is take Yitzchak. Again, Rashi says, why did God play this game with him? He didn't want to bring it on suddenly to him. But you see, on some level, according to this insight of Rashi from the Medrash, that Avram challenged Hashem. Avram did not necessarily accept this decree. He's trying to deflect it. He's trying to maybe wiggle himself out of it. And so I want to suggest, or not suggest, this is just a simple, reading of the Pesukim. It's explicit that that just like Avram, perhaps, very much challenged Hashem at the Akedah. Didn't necessarily ultimately accept it, and he performed the Akedah, or was about to perform it until he was told to stop. So Moshe, we know, again, he did march forward, but he also challenged Hashem. And then we have a whole Parsha that's named after that, right? The second Parsha, and it's the Shabbos, always the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Nachamu, we have a Parsha Be'eschanan. And what's Be'eschanan? So Be'eschanan is, I Hashem, or I Moshe, Be'eschanan Hashem, basically more, right? I beseech God at that time saying, Hashem Elokim, all right, God, you show me your power, your might, and everything. God, God, let me cross over that land. Let me see the good land. He tells me exactly what he's talking about. Right? Which area? Which land am I referring to? But because of you, God refused. Lo shemali, but he doesn't listen to me. Yom Hashem, he lying. God said to me, Ravlach, enough. Atosif daber na'elai o b'davar zeh. No more. I don't want to hear anything more about it. So here, Moshe, in fact, does challenge Hashem, right? He continues the pattern that he's established throughout his life of leadership, always challenging Hashem, right? Always trying to find a way to perhaps at some level change Hashem or to demonstrate to Hashem why maybe a different approach is better. And the only thing I wanted to end off by saying is, what exactly is the challenge? Is this a personal request that he's making for himself as a yachid, as an individual? Hashem, please, I so much want to go. Please help me. The Jewish people, they're going, right? There's not a decree against them. This is a personal failure on his part. So this is just for him. So it sounds like it's just, he himself is asking a personal favor of Hashem to please, reconsider. And in fact, that's how the Malbim understands this quest, that this is what Moshe was asking from Hashem. The Malbim says, it's got a whole long piece here. Let's get to the key part. He says that why aren't I able to enter the land? So it's because of this failure, right? That I made, right? That I didn't properly sanctify God's name in front of the people. And as a result, he says the following. He says, "Rakshosu zos tovas Yisrael shem haya Moshe nichnas laaretz av shelo b'toras manig." Rak b'toras manig. Rak ahead yom b'chosos haya mekadesh nivna takeif ayde b'ofet. He's saying that Moshe, what he was asking for, was just to enter the land, not as a leader, but at least as a head yod, as an individual. In other words, like when Moshe, he just wanted to enter the land, right? He knows he wanted to retire. Some people retire to Florida. Some people retire to the land of Israel, right? You retire and you make Aliyah. So you want to make Aliyah. Again, he's not going to lead the Jewish people because that's been taken away from him. And that was the decree. That's what the Malbim earlier notes. The decree was that You won't bring the nation across. Okay, so I won't do it, but at least allow me to enter. Right now, personally, on a personal level, let me see the land. Let me experience being there. And whatever Nakahed Jody says, like an individual, I won't be the leader. Moshe doesn't want to go into land to eat, to go eat out the restaurants, right? The restaurants might be great, but that's not what his interest was. You want to experience the sanctity of the land, the holiness of the land, and to fulfill the mitzvahs of tzuyas baretz, special mitzvahs you can only fulfill in the land. So that, today, like a Jew wants to go to Eretz Yisrael because of the kedusha, right? And you can do certain mitzvahs today only in Eretz, even the like a careful with trupos and the maestros and the shmitas coming up this year. So he wanted to enter as a yachid, and God refuses. Right? God, the mom goes on to explain that God refuses this request of Moshe because if Moshe would enter the land, there's all these different statements of Chazal, the base of Migdash would have never been destroyed, and in fact, he said that would have been a bad for the Jews because we know that Tisha B'Av is coming up in about 3.5 weeks. That Mara says that when it came time, the Jews were sinning, Hashem did a favor instead of destroying the Jewish people. He took his anger out on the base of Migdash. So we have, but we said, the Malam very powerfully says, we have another statement that Moshe entered the land of Israel, the base of Migdash never would have been destroyed. So when the Jews would have sinned, if the base of Migdash couldn't be destroyed, then the Jews would have been destroyed. So God said, no, it's not going to be good for you to enter the land, right? Because that's going to be harmful to the Jewish people down the road. In any event, Malam understands that this is a personal request that Moshe was making. And he understood he wouldn't lead, but at least allow me as a yachid, as a head yot, as a retiree, to live in the land of Israel. I'll just conclude that the Netziv says differently. The Netziv, as we've seen the pattern throughout this year, always has something unique to share. And the Netziv here in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Eschanan, says that what was Moshe's interest here? What was he trying to accomplish? He says the following. Get the exact words. Yeah, the following. That what Moshe wanted to do, and why Moshe so much wanted to enter into the land of Israel, because he mentions, I want to go to Eretz HaTova, the good land. Says, what's Tova? Again, a very novel approach. It's Tova Zu Torah. This is Torah. V'chein omer ki lakach tov nasati lachem. Right? Torah yatazavu. That Torah is referred to as Tov, as good. Then came Rumas Bezeh Mikra V'eras Arts Tova. When he says, I want to see the good land, Tova Torah. He wants to see the land is that the land is a land that's going to live at the Torah, that's going to reflect the Torah. And therefore, he says that Iker Kavanas Moshe Shpitfiloso Beisahiha Yimishum Malas HaTorah Lahashris BaEretz Yisrael Koach HaTalmud. You know what Moshe wanted to do? He couldn't necessarily lead the Jewish people in, but he wanted to establish. He still wanted to benefit the Jewish people. He wanted to establish that the land of Israel would be a land that would be immersed in Torah study and the fulfillment of Torah. Of spirituality, that he could do that. He wouldn't necessarily be the one, leading the battles and the war and doing all that, but he could set the spiritual tone for not for himself, but for the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And that was what he was interested in doing. So in other words, unlike the mom, that it was just a personal request for him personally to experience the land, but this is that continuing the pattern of his entire career, every time he defends the Jewish people, it's for their sake. It's not for his sake, right? For his sake, it was always in his benefit, actually, for the Jewish people to be killed. Because God tells him, I'll make you into a great nation. You'll be the leader of a great nation. So it's not for, it was always though, but he was trying to save the Jews. So here too as well, it was all for them. That was what he was interested in. And God said no. God said no, that's part of the punishment. And that's, again, why exactly the punishment had to take place. We talked about that last year. And in fact, that God, the way the Netziv concludes, says to that Hashem sort of comforted Moshe and said that I need you to stay here and to die here, because again, where Moshe was going to be buried, we know he's buried next to the place where the Jews sinned with the Peor idol, which is like the worst idolatry. That Moshe was going to sort of atone for that, and so for I need you to save the Jewish people by being buried here. But what I think what emerges from all of this is that Moshe Rabbeinu, two beautiful lessons that Moshe number one accepts the decree. Not only does he just accept the decree, he continues to march forward. Right, he doesn't give up. He sends messengers to Edom, and he's going to get the Jewish people as close to the land of Israel. And it's about in our own lives when we have these major disappointments. Are we able to pick ourselves up and to move on and continue to accomplish and to live a life of meaning and fulfillment and of success and to be impactful, number one. And number two, Moshe does engage in tefillah, right? He does, like he did throughout his 40 years. He tells us in Sefer Devarim, I did daven to Hashem. I did plead to Hashem. And either it was a personal request, like the Malbim says, that's a personal request to enter into the land of Israel to benefit from the beauty of the land, or according to the Tziv, it was actually a request for the Jewish people themselves, for him to establish the Eretz Yisrael as a spiritual center, a place of Torah, and to benefit the Klal Yisrael. So, Moshe was always there for the people, always trying to help them out in any which way. And then Moshe, and the Gemara says that a Jew never gives up. That even if a knife, the sword is on your neck, don't give up, right? Until it's over, until Hashem says, that's it. So Moshe doesn't give up. Right? Continues to lead and continues to daven until Hashem says, no more. Right? Moshe, I made this decision. But until that point, Moshe continued to lead the people, to daven, whether on his behalf or on behalf of the people. I hope everyone has a wonderful Shabbos.